91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. On May 9th, 36 years ago, disaster struck in Tampa Bay. A freighter ship plowed into a support pier of the massive Skyway Bridge. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. 35 lives were lost in the catastrophe, which mirrored a perfect storm. The event was horrific enough on its own, but continued to haunt the Tampa Bay community, as well as the vilified individual on the ship's helm and the collapse survivors. The Florida Department of Transportation had given dire warnings of the landmark bridge's condition. We'll speak with journalist Bill DeYoung, who wrote Skyway, the true story of Tampa Bay's signature bridge and the man who brought it down. Topical Currents up next. First, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The governor of North Carolina is pushing back against the federal government in support of a new state law that limits the protections of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. At issue is a person's ability to legally use the public restroom that corresponds with that individual's current gender identity, no matter if they were born male or female. Faced with the potential loss of billions of dollars in federal funds, Governor Pat McCrory has filed suit. WUNC's Jorge Valencia says McCrory is accusing the government of wrongfully invoking two federal anti-discrimination laws.
The governor is defiant. He's asking federal courts to intervene. He says the Justice Department is attempting to create rules for bathroom use in the public and private sector nationwide. Republican state lawmakers who wrote House Bill 2 have taken a similar stance and say the Justice Department is overstepping its authority. For NPR News, I'm Jorge Valencia in Durham, North Carolina.
Sources tell NPR that Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Acting Civil Rights Division Chief Anita Gupta will respond this afternoon to North Carolina's challenge. A United Nations committee set up to monitor the human rights of Palestinians in Israeli-occupied territories says the overall situation is deteriorating, despite what UN officials call small improvements. NPR's Emily Harris reports from Jerusalem that Israel sees the annual evaluation as a predetermined outcome.
The UN Special Committee was established nearly 50 years ago to monitor the rights of Palestinians and other Arabs in territories occupied by Israel in 1967. For this annual evaluation, committee members heard reports from NGOs, UN, and Palestinian officials. The committee raised concerns about Israeli troops using what it called disproportionate force in response to Palestinian attacks during the recent increase of violence. It highlighted a step up in threats and intimidation faced by human rights organizations working in the West Bank and Israel. Israel's foreign ministry said the committee mandate determines its conclusions in advance, and the sole purpose is to tarnish Israel. Emily Harris, NPR News, Jerusalem.
A trial is underway in Brussels for suspects in a terrorist plot linked to attacks in that city and in Paris. Terry Schultz reports most of the defendants are being tried in absentia because they're believed to be fighting with ISIS in Syria or are already dead.
The 16 men on trial are accused of being part of a cell broken up in January 2015. Its members allegedly planned to kidnap an unspecified high-ranking Belgian official and behead him or her publicly. Police had tapped the group's hideout in the eastern Belgian town of and moved in when it was believed the suspects were planning to launch the attack. Two men were killed in a shootout. One was captured and is among the seven appearing in a Brussels court. The dead gunmen are believed to have been in contact with alleged Paris mastermind Abdelhamid Abaoud and to have trained in Syria before returning to Belgium to carry out their plot. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
This is NPR News.
From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. A Palm Beach County judge has set a $450,000 bond for a man arrested in the fatal crash that killed mixed martial arts fighter Jordan Parsons. Delray Beach police say 25-year-old Dennis Wright of Boca Raton faces multiple charges, including leaving the scene of a crash causing death. Parsons was walking in a crosswalk when he was hit by a Range Rover traveling at least 120 miles per hour. This was last Sunday. Police say they found Wright through a tipster and that his driver's license had been suspended at least six times. More Florida Panthers could die this year than last year's record number. Reporter Amy Green has details.
Wildlife authorities have documented 22 dead panthers so far this year. All but four of the animals died in vehicle collisions. Last year, 41 panthers died. Daryl Land of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says the state's panther population is estimated at up to 180 animals, compared with a few dozen 30 years ago.
When the panther numbers had gotten down so low, they were no longer occupying a lot of habitat that today they've kind of recolonized or repopulated, and that's putting them into that same area where people, the footprint of humans is starting to expand.
Florida Fish and Wildlife says panthers are poised to outgrow their primary habitat in southwest Florida. There, landowners have complained of attacks on cattle and other animals. Amy Green in Orlando.
Federal regulators are considering requests from four companies to look for oil and natural gas in the mid and south Atlantic Ocean. The method used to look for the natural resource is a controversial blasting of the seabed with sound waves. Environmental groups fear that could harm marine animals, including whales, dolphins, and turtles. The proposed surveying would range from Delaware down to Florida. The exploration companies say there is no scientific evidence of their operations killing or seriously harming marine animals. This is WLRN Miami Herald News. I'm Christine DiMattei.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include LegalZoom. For over 10 years, working to help Americans navigate the legal system with assistance on business formations, wills and trusts, trademark registration, and patents. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com.
Kate Tempest made her name as a rapper, a playwright, and a poet. Now she's also a novelist who still wants you to hear the sound of her words.
That's a big ask, because you're not going to sit down at home and read a whole novel out to yourself, but there will come lines or moments that you will just feel compelled to, as the reader, just read out loud.
Writing for the eye and the ear, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, starting at 4 on Public Radio WLRN.
And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman with you on this Monday afternoon. So this hour, we reflect on a Florida disaster which occurred on this day in 1980. It's an event which fed on a chain of mishaps and unusual weather. 35 people were killed when one half of the famed landmark Skyway Bridge over Tampa Bay was destroyed.
A 20,000-ton, 606-foot freighter hit a bridge support during a torrential rainstorm. The harbor pilot of the Summit Venture ship was unfairly vilified for the tragedy. Before the bridge toppled, warnings of its weakened structural condition had been given.
With us now is editor and journalist Bill DeYoung. He's the author of the book Skyway, the True Story of Tampa Bay's Signature Bridge and the Man Who Brought It Down.
And good afternoon.
And Bill DeYoung joins us from Tampa Public Station, WUSF. We always have to credit your home public radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
Welcome, Bill.
Hey, thank you so much for having us here. It's I wish it was a happier occasion, but here we are.
That's true. Yeah. You're from St. Pete. I thought we'd begin with your earliest memories of the Skyway Bridge. You were so young. What was your experience? What did it mean to you as a child?
Terror. Abject terror. That bridge was so high and so steep and was just literally out there. When you're a kid, it seemed like you were just crossing the ocean with nothing on either side of you. And I think if you talk to anybody who lived here during, that period, the 50s, 60s, into the 70s, their memories are very similar. It was always kind of a dicey proposition. It swayed in the wind when you were up in the top. It was very scary.
I remember driving that in the early to mid-70s and just wanting to get over it, because going up it was so steep, you felt like if my engine cuts out, I'm going to just have to brake to keep from rolling backwards at an incredible speed. And you just wanted to get over it. In fact, in the book, you say that it was like a 10-degree angle. It seemed much more than that.
It was a 5-degree angle, actually.
Yeah,
but it's starting from a horizontal place. It's actually fairly steep.
It seemed like it was so much steeper than 5 degrees.
This is what the records say. You know, I'm not a mathematician, right, or a physicist, but that's what they tell me. I thought it was too. I always thought it was like going up a roller coaster. You know, just sort of chink, 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 chink.
Yeah,
until
if you would hold a protractor on the horizon in the picture, that thing would be like a 25 degrees, I think.
Oh, it's so interesting too, Joseph, when you look at photographs, depending on the angle from which they were shot, sometimes it does look steep like a mountain. Other times it looks very gradual. You know, there's a trick of the eye involved there. It's for someone smarter than me to figure out. It was very steep. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to tell you that, of course, I learned about this while reading the book, but how strange it was for me when I realized that I knew nothing about this. Now, I was living in New York at the time, but you would think that a disaster of this magnitude would have captured worldwide attention, but it didn't. Why?
Well, I can tell you very simply, the sensationalist aspect of it, you know, came and went, and within 2 weeks, Mount St. Helens erupted out in Washington State. There goes your national headlines. The bridge thing went back, as they say in my favorite movie, Jaws, back where the grocery ads are in the back of the newspaper. So a lot of people remember John Laro, the pilot, his vilification, but they don't remember that he was exonerated because it wasn't big national news anymore.
And over on this side of Florida, we had the Mariel boat lift going on, and also the Miami riots.
Liberty City, it was crazy. It was a very bad year for Florida, and it didn't take much for this to go back to being regional than a local event.
You know, Bill, you mentioned that you wanted to write about this, and you wrote the book in 2013, correct?
Well, it came out in 2013. I started in 2009, and interestingly, my wife and I were living in Savannah, Georgia at the time. We wrote the whole book in Georgia. I was down here a lot doing research, obviously.
Right, right.
But I was from here. I knew the area. I was very familiar with the story, and I just wanted to find out more. I wasn't reading... What I wanted to find out about it. I was very interested in the human side, how these people who had survived and their families and their friends, how the people who had survived, how they lived with it. How do you go on with this in your mind? And I found out lots of interesting things.
Well, it's interesting because just, you know, one of the things is you said none of the accounts that you had read jived, and you wanted to find out the truth. And just as a coincidence, our engineer today, Michael Stock, you know, one of our colleagues here, he said, oh, I was at, the radio station and at WUSF in 1980 when this happened. He said it was that guy that it was a rainstorm and he plowed it into the bridge. And I was thinking,
yeah,
that's exactly what you're talking about, that either he was drunk or all these
incompetent,
right, all these wrong descriptions or illustrations of what had actually happened.
Exactly. I was speaking at the main library in St. Petersburg the day before yesterday because it's the anniversary and there's obviously a lot of attention focused on this. And one of the things that comes up in the PowerPoint that I do is I say, well, people still say to me, you ask my wife, I talk about this way too much, but so I'm always in discussion with somebody about it. People still say, oh, yeah, he